Well, good afternoon. I'm going to go ahead and get started, even though we know people are continuing to trickle in. But our members have just a few minutes to be with us, and we want to make sure that we take advantage of every single minute that we have with them. We are joined in this session on the Senate Democratic Latina Summit session on focusing on education. We have Senator Patty Murray and Congressman Ruben Hinojosa to discuss the current policies and to give us some insight as to how they see things progressing on this issue here in Congress. We are very, very fortunate to have Senator Murray and Congressman Hinojosa with us today because they are two of the top leaders here in Washington, D.C. for our schools and for our students, providing very strong leadership on helping us tackle the very difficult challenges that we have in education today across our country. So Senator Murray has been extremely devoted to solving the high school dropout problem that is affecting so many children across our country, and certainly for children, for Latino children in our schools. And Congressman Hinojosa is a consistent fighter for quality education for all students. He serves as the chair of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Education Task Force. He's often the first person consulted in the House when it comes to Latino education issues. Before we begin, I know that you picked up notepads on your way in. So please, as we're talking, feel free to write down some questions, and we'll hopefully get to all of the questions that you have. But let's go ahead and get started. I want to start with Senator Murray. It's so great to have you with us. And first, I'd just like to ask about I know that you are well aware of the challenges for Latino students in our public schools, and it has been a focus of work for you. Could you talk about how you see Congress addressing this issue and what you have been working on as you've been here?
A broad topic, to be sure. First
Absolutely.
Of all, welcome to all of you. It is wonderful to have you here in the nation's capital talking about an issue that's absolutely critical to our country's future, and that is making sure that every one of our kids, no matter who they are or where they come from, what region of the country, they have an opportunity to be the best they can be, and that really is what our education system is about. But it's also the basis of our economy and our success as a nation too, and we cannot afford today to lose any of them. It's a delight to be here with Susan from Oregon. We both come a long ways to be here in the nation's capital. We share the West Coast, and I know she's done a great job in her state and been a tremendous leader there.
Thank
so
you.
I'm delighted to share the panel with you and with Congressman Hinojosa, who I've known for a very long time. You are right to introduce him as the expert on this issue, and it's just a real honor to share this with him as well. I'll just make a couple, just one really quick comment. I know the Congressman has votes and needs to go too, and then I'll have time for some questions. But I think one of the biggest, we cover everything here from early childhood education through higher education, and there are challenges at every level. One of the issues I have really focused on is making sure that all of our young people see a pathway to success. And today, too many of our young kids don't see a career pathway that includes them. And they see many of the nation's laws, whether it's No Child Left Behind or whatever else it is, it's a barrier rather than an opportunity. And I am working on legislation to widen the focus of what our young people see as opportunities for career pathways, and to bring our communities together at the local level to work business, labor, education, community leaders, to have them begin to look at the local level and say, what are the jobs and opportunities in my own community, and how can I make sure we go back in our schools and create a curriculum and a pathway for students to go into the jobs that are here at home? You know, we often, our kids tell me, well, I'm not going to go to Harvard, so I might as well drop out when I'm in seventh grade. I mean, literally that stark. And yet they could be a welder or an electrician if they had a pathway to that. They could be active in the community if they had a different pathway there. But it's the businesses in your community, the job opportunities in your own communities that you know the best, and your as community leaders know them the best. And we want to give you the opportunity to work with your schools to create those pathways. So I'm working on legislation in that regard, as well as many others, but it's a delight to be here today.
Congressman, did you want to add to that question or answer that question as well?
I would like to turn on the system so that you can hear me. I love the remarks that Senator Murray expressed because I agree with her. I would like to put a face on this problem and tell you that I happen to be the 8th of 11 children born to immigrant parents who came from Mexico. My mother was 5, my dad was 9, in two separate families from two different states during the Mexican Revolution. And they both grew up in Texas, and one day they met, and they formed this big, big family. And my mother was the matriarch of this immense family that grew from their marriage. There were 40 grandchildren and 58 grandchildren. And I can tell you that my mother insisted that we go to school, that we graduate, and that we could go to college. She didn't have a formal education. My dad had 3 years, but both of them had somewhere learned how to read. And so as I heard Patty's remarks, I wanted to tell you that in the many years that I've been a champion for education, I have come to the conclusion that if we can have reading and writing literacy, it will equal success in school. And if you can start that from the time the child is born, and somebody can start reading to that child, even though the child can't tell you anything during that first year from birth, they're learning. They are learning. Trust me. By the time they're 2 years old, they want to read the book that you've been reading to them 150 times. And then by the time they're 3, they're reading. And they want to tell you about it. And they want to tell others about what they read. And they want to start pecking on the computer board. And they can write a paragraph and they can draw pictures and tell you what they read. And that is the key to what we are looking for, and that is to increase the graduation rate amongst our minority students. Half of them are not graduating. Half of the Latinos and half of the African-American students are not graduating from schools. So if we're going to do something about it, Congress has to have a mindset. And you can do that. You can do it by talking to the elected party nominees and tell them that you want the federal government and the state government to increase the funding in Early Start, in early education. This administration cut Early Start to zero. They cut 48 programs almost either to zero or below last year's funding. That won't work. That will not work. It will not solve the problem and increase the number of students who will have accessibility and affordability to higher education, which is where the key is if you are going to enjoy a better quality of life. I see lots of young people here, and that's wonderful. It gives me great hope that you are interested in helping us in Congress to solve this major, major crisis, economic crisis, because look at the unemployment. It's over 6% now in our country. And all of this to say, it's becoming even unaffordable to go to college. The Texas legislature, and I come from the great state of Texas, made great cuts to community colleges and four-year universities. So they had to raise the tuition rates the last 5-6 years. And so you understand the challenges that we have here in Congress. But the good news is that the College Cost Reduction and Access Act was passed, and it infused over $20 billion of new money, which 60% of it goes towards increasing Pell Grants by over $1,000 in the first few years. Eventually, it'll go from about $4,200 a year to $8,800 over about a 10-year period. But the point is this. This Congress, the 110th, both in the House and the Senate, were able to do what two Congresses ago, back 6 years ago, in the 108th and the 109th Congress, could not do under a different majority. And in that bill, in the college cost reduction, I'm particularly proud of our work to strengthen the institutions that are the gateways of access to higher ed for minority students. I'm talking of HSIs, HBCUs, and the tribal-controlled universities for our Native American students. All of this to say that we're putting in an additional $200 million over 2 years for HBCUs and HSIs and HBCUs. With that money, we're going to be able to, on a competitive basis, give out $100 million the first year and $100 million the next, and increase the number that we're going to recruit to come to colleges. And I'm talking about both the Hispanic community and the African American community. Another $110 million goes to the Native American and Asian Pacific universities and those that have those majorities. So that is something that you need to understand is what is increasing the worth of the GI Bill, because under this bill, which has more money in it, then we add to it the Higher Education Opportunity Act, which was just signed into law August the 14th by the president. That one does a great deal for veterans, because the GI Bill was for those who fought the wars. The GI Bill that I'm talking about, this new one that adds to that, makes it possible for the family to access higher education, the spouse and the children. This is something new. It has lots of pieces in it that you need to read about for the details. I have hope that we are going to see much higher funding, because the authorization levels are in this new bill, for programs that work, which is the GEAR UP program, the TRIO program, the HEP program, the CAMP program. All of those, thanks to Patty and Senator Kennedy and many others in the Senate and my group over in the House, where I'm the chairman of the higher ed, we were able to really raise those levels of authorization. And if the mindset is changed in Congress that they will invest much more in public education from the time the child is born, with literacy programs like I described to you, and all the way through graduate programs and PhD programs like we have in the second bill that I told you about, where Hispanic serving institutions will have money to recruit Latinos to do master's and PhD programs. And there will be money and fellowships, and there will be forgiveness of loans and all the things that we could think of to answer the two questions: how can we improve accessibility and affordability of higher education? I'm delighted to see you here. I wish I could stay with Patty, but votes have already started at 1:15, and I was willing to take my consequences of missing the first vote. But if I miss too many votes, somebody else may take my place. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me speak.